You are listening to a sermon preached at the First Christian Church of St. Ignatius in St. Ignatius, Montana. For more information, you can visit us at www.firstchristiansti.org.
Thank you for that. That was a blessing. I also want to say that you're from Green Acres, but I know that's not true either. Sunshine Acres, right? Okay. I can never get that right. Adam and Brenda were here with us as school teachers, and they did a wonderful job, and we're sad that they're not with us, and yet they are. So what a wonderful thing this morning. Thank you for bringing that. If you have your Bibles today, please turn to Joshua chapter 24. And I'm going to get into a little bit of dangerous ground here as we begin, but Have you ever looked at something that God did and said in your head, you don't want to say it out loud, but have you ever said, Lord, what were you thinking? Have you ever wanted to say that? I look at free will. You know, God made people on the earth with free will, and he did that for very good reasons. But I look at that and go, what were you thinking? Because that allowed us as people to choose certain things that have led us into a life of sin. People love choices. But if God didn't give us free will and didn't give us the ability to choose the different things for our life, we wouldn't be able to love him. We wouldn't be able to have faith. We wouldn't be able to. We'd be robots. And that wouldn't really work, would it? There wouldn't be much of any reason. It'd be like God having a radio-controlled car. And that's not somebody who's going to love you back. How many of you wish your dog did exactly what you said all the time? Yes, but Bill, all the White House boys just raised their hand, just saying something there. Yeah, okay. But unless something can choose to love you, it just doesn't work. And that's why God gave us free will, and that is such a wonderful gift. And yet, how many times do we abuse it? So here, let's turn to Joshua chapter 24. I'm going to start in verse 14. But to tell you what went on just before this, basically God is speaking through Joshua to the people. And God is saying, hey, look, okay, I brought Abraham from over here, and I worked through Abraham and through Isaac, and then I worked through Jacob and Esau, and then all the way down here. And look what all the things I have done to take care of you guys and lead you to where we're at. And then he's got something he needs to say. And this is the very last part in Joshua. And he says, now therefore, verse 14, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. Has anybody ever heard this part of it before? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it says that the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. God made us with free will, and people absolutely love to choose. If you don't think that's true, go to McDonald's and look up their board and all the choice options that they give you, because people like to choose. I've got a 3- and a 4-year-old right now. Enoch is starting to grow out of it, but when I wrote this sermon, he was right in the middle of it. When you tell him, okay, Enoch, you can't do that, and before you can explain why, I want to. Well, yeah, I understand that, but I want to. And for him, that is enough. For Esther now. Now Esther's the one. I want to. You know, why should you tell me that I can't do this? Because I want to. And as children, we are born figuring out in this world how it is that we get what we want. Okay, and if I want that, I should be able to have that. And kids learn the most expedient way to get what they want. Okay? Ultimately, when it comes down to it, the Lord created us with two choices. Boil it all the way down. There goes my notes. Two choices. We can either choose ourselves, which includes our selfish desires and the sins of this world, or we can choose the Lord. Those are the two choices you have in life. And one choice is going to send you to hell, and the other choice is going to allow you to be in heaven. It really is that simple. Get my notes back up here. And Joshua lays it out there just as very simple as it can be. Choose today whom you're going to serve. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I don't know if you guys have heard this story or not, but Mark Twain was in Utah one time, and he was having the debate with a polygamist. And while he was debating with this polygamist, you know, they were talking about whether or not it was okay to have more than one wife. And they came to a point where the polygamist said, just give me one scripture from the Bible so that says it's not okay to have more than one wife. And he said, that's easy. Matthew 6:24 says, you cannot serve two masters. That isn't really what that verse was talking about, but the concept applies. Besides, who needs to be fixing more than one dishwasher, microwave, all that? Yeah. Okay, that's what Rick always says. We have to choose where our allegiance lays. And as funny as that all is, I want to talk to the guys for just a minute. Our country is experiencing a lack of men who will stand up and be godly men and lead their families in godly ways. And it hurts a plethora, that means a lot, a plethora of children in our world today. It leaves a lot of wives wishing that their men would step up and be men. And this isn't happening. And in Joshua, you see him say, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. All you men in this room, you need to make that decision, because if that's not the decision and the priority in your life, it's just not going to work. We have to serve the Lord. All you young men who are not yet fathers, you need to make that decision right now, because if you don't, how's that going to trickle down to your kids? What's going to happen in their lives? I'm going to turn now to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. You can turn with me if you want, but I'm going to read it here. And yes, Elvin, I will read it accurately to what it says in the Bible wherever you're at. 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 15, says, do not love the world, nor any of the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. There was a man who was talking to God one day, and as he was talking to God, he said, God, what is 1,000 years to you? Have you heard this before? Okay. He said, what is 1,000 years to you? And God says, well, it's like a second. He said, wow, that is so amazing, God. He said, then God, what is $1,000 to you? And God says, well, it's kind of like a penny. And the man thought for another second. He said, God, can I have a penny? And God said, sure, just a second. To us, you know, we're a flower that is fading away, and we're here what seems like a long time sometimes, but really our time here is very short. And what to God is just a second, to us seems like 1,000 years. And so we struggle through this world, and we look at all the lusts and the desires and the things that the world puts out there to make us choose it, that Satan is putting out there to make us choose the world instead of God. And yet there in 1 John it says, these things are passing away, okay? They're not going to be around for very much longer. The different verse talks about how moths and rust destroy. Do not lay up treasures here on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven, because this isn't going to last. Now, there's a lot of young people in this room today. You know, the younger we are, the more it's like, well, this is it. Okay, right here. And the older we get, the more we start to say, I don't want to be here anymore. I want to be up there. Perspective is everything. And remember, young people, in your maturity and in your faith, that you start moving towards that point where heaven's going to be a better place than here. And I know that's a tough thing, because we like some of the stuff that goes on here, but there's also a lot of hurt, and God didn't make us to live in this world forever and ever. One of the things it talks about in Joshua 24, when Joshua gives them that charge, is he doesn't say, choose at some point whom you're going to serve. At that point, he was having to say, you need to choose now. Choose now whom you're going to serve. If you're going to serve the gods from over in Egypt or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're now living, that's up to you. Either choose them or choose God, but you need to choose now. I remember when I was younger, the thought process that went through my head is, I'm going to wait till I'm 18 and then I'm going to give my life to the Lord and be baptized. That way I'll wash away more sins because, you know, if I wait till 18, there, I'm sure I'll sin more in that time. And that's not really the way that works, is it? No, it washes away the sins from the past, the present, and the future. And so it's one of those things that you're not supposed to wait for. There's a lot of people in this world that want to say, I'm going to go to college, so I'm going to wait to give my life to the Lord till after college, because college is going to be a good time. There's going to be alcohol, there's going to be girls or guys or however that works. Okay, so I'm going to wait till after that to give my life to the Lord, and that just doesn't work. You need to choose now. John 16, verse 33, Jesus says, I have overcome the world. You can choose the world, but it's going away. People that choose the world, this is as close to heaven as they're ever going to get. People that choose the Lord, this is as close to hell as they're ever going to get. But again, you have to choose. And I know I'm hammering that over and over and over, but it really is that simple. Everyone must decide. You know, we work, and this church has a ministry called Pine Haven, if you guys didn't know that. Pine Haven is a ministry to young people who are having, frankly, when you boil it down to it, are having a hard time realizing how to get what it is that they want. Because when we grow up, you know, if getting me that thing off the Walmart shelf that I want means throwing myself down the aisle, pounding on the floor, and screaming bloody murder, then I'm going to keep doing that because that got me what I wanted. Does that make sense? Okay, and that's not the only example. But basically, what we're trying to do at Pine Haven, a big part of what we're trying to do, is we're trying to share with you, okay, so this is what you want. Now, what's the right way to get it? Because you can go the wrong way. You can take the shortcut. And the whole reason God gives us the laws and all that was to make our lives better, to do the right thing, because those things keep our lives in line with Him, and really we end up being able to enjoy life more because of that. Got that? Okay. More importantly than that, at Pine Haven and Sunshine Acres, we are trying to show these young people who it is that they need to serve so that they can be in heaven one day for eternity and for eternity, forever and ever, instead of going to hell. And there's no bigger choice than that here in this earth. When I was younger, I was quoted to say, and I said it, I want to do what I want to do. And we all have that basic bent, but we have to align ourselves with God. I look at the Jewish people. You know, what was it that they wanted? In Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11, I'm going to go ahead and go to that and read that. The people had been waiting. The Jewish people had been waiting for years and years and years for the Messiah to come. And what was the purpose of the Messiah? Well, they thought the Messiah was going to come and overthrow the government, whichever one oppressed him at the time that he came, and then bring back an earthly kingdom. That was kind of their base thought. This is what's going to happen. And so here we have what we call the triumphal entry. Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 1. When they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there, and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them and brought the donkey and the colt and laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and the others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. Do you know why they did that? That's what they would do for a king. The crowds going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." So here they are, a week before Jesus' death, and they're singing, "Hosanna! Glory to God in the highest!" And they're praising him, and they're so focused on Jesus and what they think he's going to do for them. What did they do a week later? Crucify him! Crucify! Why would they do that? Well, one, people are fickle. But two, he didn't give them what they thought they wanted. Now, did you catch what I said there? What they thought they wanted. And so, a week later, Jesus put to death on the cross. And there they are yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him." And some things happened that day, some pretty amazing things. But then we're going to turn to Acts 2. Starting in verse 29, Peter and the other apostles have stood up and they are preaching to the people on the day of Pentecost. And there were Jews gathered together for the day of Pentecost. And I'm going to start in 29 because you don't need me to read all this. It gets to be a little long. But an amazing sermon to these people who've been waiting for the Messiah and then had really messed that up. "Brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us today. And so, because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on the throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth his Spirit, which you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.' Therefore, let all the house of Israel know that for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Crucify him. Crucify him. "And when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself.'" What an amazing sermon. And it really goes right to the heart of these people who've been waiting for so long. "But this Jesus whom you crucified." You see, Jesus didn't come to create an earthly kingdom and an earthly reign. He came to establish the church and a heavenly kingdom. And so the people didn't get it. From Hosanna to crucify him. And now they start to get it. And it says, I believe 3,000 souls were added that day. They had to make a choice. And finally they understood what was the right way. And they had to make that choice. If you haven't decided to live your life for Jesus Christ, if you haven't decided to choose him as your Lord and Savior, simply you're going to go to hell. You need to make that choice. And it's not a choice that you wait till after college or after the next fun, sinful thing you want to do. It's a choice that you need to make now. Don't wait for that. We don't know when Christ is coming back. It's not something that you put off, but you have to choose. Am I going to serve this world or am I going to serve the Lord? If you have made that decision, then what? Then we're just done, right? No, we need to take as many people with us as possible, don't we? Live your life in such a way that people see that. Tell people. Invite them to church. You know, the church here has been pretty small for a while. Get out there. Invite people to church. Say, hey, would you come with me? Because if we're not seeking and saving the lost like Jesus did, we're not doing what we need to be doing. If you need to make a decision to serve Jesus Christ this morning, please come forward as we sing our closing song. I didn't give Elvin a key word to come and be ready. But if you need to make that decision, come and there it is.